13 is a brand founded for the creators, the innovators, and the motivators, for the people who get up every single day and strive to be better and leave a positive mark on this world. 13 is a fantastic clothing company, and the people that are behind it are passionate, creative, and some of the nicest people I have ever met. All of their stuff looks great, it's comfy, all the designs are so super cool. 13 has some of my favorite t-shirts and seriously my favorite pair of sweatpants I have ever worn. 13 has been a longtime sponsor and supporter of the CoreyCast, and they wanted to extend their love to you, the listener. So when you check out their website at thur13en.com, fill your cart with some cool hats, hoodies, sweatpants. Just make sure you use the code word CoreyCast at checkout, and you're going to save yourself a little bit of money. thur13en.com. Make sure you tell them Corey sent you. Today's episode of the CoreyCast, I have my friend Joe from Unplugged. I've known Joe for quite some time now. He recently purchased a game store called Unplugged, not to make a quick buck, not to get rich, but for two things. One, to give his brother a steady, cool job, and two, to build a community that he was proud of, and he should be proud of the community that he built. He created this inclusive, welcoming, warm environment that allows people to come in, play Magic the Gathering, Pokemon, any kind of trading card games, and he's built such a clean, neat store that he was able to obtain this special award from Wizards of the Coast as an exclusive platinum Magic the Gathering dealer. How freaking cool. I mean, Joe has no knowledge of the trading card game or how to run a game store other than his knowledge of just like playing Magic the Gathering, which I respect the hell out of him for. So this episode is all about like how an entrepreneur got into a business with really no knowledge of that industry and really built something he is really proud of, and a lot of people in the community are proud of, and he should be proud of what he built. If you are watching this episode on Spotify, do me a favor, hit that follow button, leave me a review, hit that little 5-star. It's all free things you can do to help this podcast grow to a brand new audience. But I must go because I think my people are here for the showing. So without further ado, here's my friend Joe from Unplugged. Yeah, so I got this setup when I got moved in the office, yeah. And when I was setting up my space, I was like, you know what? I've always wanted an in-studio space.
Yeah.
So I figured, why not like actually do it?
Yeah.
You like the sign?
That's
pretty
cool,
right? Yeah. Since 2020, and it was like I did a few episodes in person.
Yeah.
And then COVID happened and everything
online.
Locked down, and then yeah. I just reverted to online for the longest time.
Yeah. Cool.
But when I got put in the office, now I do more in-person interviews.
Nice.
It's cool. I feel like this is better than.
This is way better than doing it online.
Yeah, it's just a really cool space now. And when I moved in, I was like, I wanted to kind of carve my own thing.
Yeah, I think, like I was just saying before, I think it's creative to try to stand out in the real estate space. Because, like, in TV and in, like, media, like social media and influencers and all that too, like, you kind of need to be different than everyone else. Because I feel like everyone else is just, like, the classic way of selling a house, right? Like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. I got my sign on the front of a house, like, this is for sale. But now, like, you see dudes on Instagram that are, like, in million-dollar places. And they're like, you got to check this place out, man. It's the coolest fucking place you've ever seen in your entire life. Like, and then they're like, yo, fucking Biggie Smalls bought this place for $1.2 million. And it's, like, building, like, a personality as, like, because you're essentially selling yourself.
Yeah.
You're selling the house, but you're selling yourself. Like, I chose my realtor because she sold me as a person.
Mm-hmm.
So she walked me through the process. She'd like handled everything for me in my home buying process.
Yeah.
And I was like, I like her. So I chose to use her.
Yeah. It's real estate. It's a funny business. And it's like, you really do sell yourself in a sense, because like you
agree to work with this person for a set amount of time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? So you want to make sure you have like a good working relationship.
Yeah.
But there's no like, there's a definitely a right and a wrong way, but there's so many ways to do business and to do it effectively.
Right.
It's a very interesting space because everyone is a little different. But if you are almost a personality, when I think personality, I think of like, there's an agent in Utica, his name's Paul Sacco, and he's this like character.
Larger in life kind of guy.
Yeah, and he's great. Everybody loves Paul, but everybody knows him because he's been that character for a while. And he's just a good dude. But it definitely helps in the real estate space.
100%.
The business is completely based on like building relationships. Yeah. So the more people that know who you are, I think that only emphasizes it a little bit more.
You get your name out there. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, recently, how long ago did you take over Unplugged?
I bought Unplugged. It was 2024. So the end of 2022.
Okay. What were like the moments leading up to that? What made you want to purchase the place?
I walked into the shop and I met some of the employees that were working there. And I met the owner, and he owned an ad agency called Digital Hive before.
I've heard of that before.
Yeah, yeah. And they got acquired, so they got a buyout and all this stuff. And then he started like a labor of love. So he liked Pokemon, so he bought up a store and created like a brick and mortar and did online sales and all this stuff. I didn't really know anything about it. I didn't know anything about the collectibles industry outside of like playing Magic the Gathering as a kid. And like
collecting. Did you go ham on Magic the Gathering?
When I was like a kid.
Yeah. When I was 13, I went ham.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going through like ham. And trying to organize all my cards now. It's a headache.
Yeah. That's the service we offer.
That's it. Oh shit, is that really? Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah. I didn't know that. All right. Sick.
We bought a machine from TCG Player. It was like $26,000 and it like organizes every single card that you put into it and alphabetizes it, and like it's awesome.
Whoa, that's sick. Yeah.
So
okay.
It's a cool little robot we got at the
Dang.
Shop.
All right, sick. Why do you mean to go off track?
No,
with
it's
that?
Good. But. So I walked in there and I met the owner. His name is Jake. I met him and he was a super nice guy. And I was like, wow, you're super nice. And he was like, hey, nice to meet you. He was super into what he was doing, but he was shutting down. And I was like, why are you closing down? I was like, look at this beautiful space. Like, the shop is amazing. And he was like, I just can't afford it. Like, it's just not working out. So I was in there and I learned from him that the business wasn't successful because of the online marketplace. Mm. And the whole idea of like a brick and mortar game store is like a dying thing now.
Right.
It's nearly impossible to sustain. The margins are way too thin. The cost of product is way too high. So it didn't work out. He ended up losing his ass in the business.
Yeah.
So I then met the store manager at the time, and I was like, what are you going to do? I was like, what are you going to do for work after this? And he's like, I don't know. And I was like, all right. So I talked to my fiance at the time, my wife, and I was like, how cool would it be if I owned a game store? And she was like, do it, Joe. She's like, fuck it. She's like, why not? Have fun with it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So at the time, my brother wasn't working and I was making good money from other work. And I was like, oh, try it out and see if I can make it happen. And Jake and I became friends. He's at my wedding. He's a good dude. And he sold it to me at like nothing. So I didn't get product. I got fixtures. Mm. So that was a big thing.
So you had like all these shelving units and racks, like that.
So I had no clue what I was doing. I've never operated a retail business.
Yeah.
I had terrible advisement in the beginning.
And especially the background you had wasn't in, because Unplugged does, what else do they do other than trading cards?
Trading cards, board games, supplies.
Comic books?
No, online sales of like card singles, sealed product, things like that.
See, and then like your only knowledge was
just playing the game.
Yeah, playing Magic the Gathering a long time
and
ago.
And every once in a while, I'd buy like a really old product, like a unlimited starter deck or an unlimited pack. And I'd open it and be like, well, look, I spent $6,000 on this and I got $40 for the cards out of it.
Yeah, right.
So now you're like
trying to learn how to run a successful retail business.
It's like the most challenging thing I think I've ever done in terms of business in my professional career in the past like 14 years of anything.
Holy cow.
Because
the margins are that thin,
it's
because
like,
online is such a big competition.
Online has killed the prospect of a business like this. You know, for instance, like we might spend, say, $96 on a box of Pokemon, and that's like distribution cost mm-hmm. plus shipping, and we might be able to get like $129 out of it.
Wow!
But online, they're selling it for $105, maybe $104. So they're like squeezing like
right
a 2% margin, 2 or 3% margin.
Right.
But they're banking on volume, right? So they can squeeze mm-hmm. that, but you, the amount of money you have to spend to like buy, to acquire product, and then you might sit on it for months, if not years.
Right. And then that like particular expansion of the game might not even might be not viable even next year.
It might die. Like there was a game, MetaZoo, that came out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we didn't buy a ton of it, but the previous owner did, and I inherited all of his stuff, and I tried to sell it since the minute we opened. We couldn't sell any of it. So now we have tens of thousands of dollars of this product that literally just tanked. It just, the game just closed their doors and everything.
Wow.
So it's like a huge risk on buying product and stuff. But yeah, so I met him and he was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I was like, what if I bought the place and I gave you a job and I made you the store manager? And I was like, you own this and we can get you to maybe potentially owning like some percentage of ownership as well. And he was like, oh yeah, let's do it. So then within a month, I acquired the business, started a new business, got distribution accounts because I couldn't acquire the distribution accounts, which would have helped a lot.
Wow.
And just ran with it.
Interesting.
It was like a huge process in the beginning. And it was a huge upfront cost.
And how overwhelmed were you? Like that first, was the initial, like right when you signed the paper, you were like, oh man, I am.
I kind of regretted it.
Really?
Yeah, big time. Because it's like, game stores, have you been to the shop before?
Yep.
Okay, so game stores notoriously are just like these like dingy, stinky, like kind of ratty places. I mean, mm-hmm. there's a great one out here, Larger in Life. Like they do a great job of like taking care of their space and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But most game stores, like the one that I went to when I was a kid growing up, it was disgusting.
Right.
It was like piercings happening in the back. There was dudes smoking cigarettes. Like yeah. I was like 11 being offered cigarettes.
Yeah.
Like, it was just a shitty place to be.
Yeah.
And a card shop or like a game store, it's like a third place, right? So you have your home, you have your job.
Mm-hmm.
Your third place is a place where you go to not do either of those things.
Right.
So when I went into that shop, I realized like this is a beautiful space. It's got tons of room to accommodate 128 people to sit there and play games together. And I was like, I want to create like a third space. Like a really good third space.
People want to come and hang out.
Yeah. I wanted to get away from like the dingy, stinky card shop mentality. And I wanted to make it like a clean, happy, welcoming environment for people of all types. Anyone who's anyone can come to our card shop, you know.
And play anything they want.
Anything they want. Yeah. And in the beginning, there was like a ton of learning pains and it cost me a ton of money. And like, it was super stressful.
What kind of learning pains did you have?
Not buying too much product or not like discounting things because someone might walk in and be like, oh, this is $2 over MSRP. And it's like, well, MSRP is a suggested retail price. It's not like, it doesn't account for our cost, right? Mm. And then feeling the guilt and being like, you know what? Don't worry about it. You could just get it for whatever.
Right.
Learning things like that. Learning to not like undersell the value of our business because...
Yeah.
Kind of like, you know, your deal with selling homes, like you're selling an experience, right? Mm-hmm. Like you're selling an experience of buying a home through you. You're not selling an experience, like you're not selling a shitty experience. If you're selling a shitty experience, no one's going to buy a house from you.
Exactly.
The same thing with my business. Like if you come to Unplugged, you're not getting the standard card shop experience. You're getting, when you walk through the doors, hey, how's it going? How's your day going? You're getting like an interpersonal experience.
Yeah.
You're getting a clean environment where like it doesn't smell like a stinky nerd. if it does, then we'll, you know, hey man.
Hey, we'll rectify
it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But you're paying for a better experience. You're not paying for the subpar standard of experience at a normal card shop from my experience of card shops.
Now, was there a lot of thought that went into changing the current environment or was that environment already like that?
It was kind of like that already. One of the things that Unplugged previously did really well was get the right equipment. So like chairs, tables, like shelving units, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
One of the biggest pushes that I did when we first acquired the business, I was there probably like 90 hours a week, just like nonstop, just blood, sweat, and tears for the first like 6 to 8 months of the business. We were so close to getting this thing called WPN Premium, which is like a WPN is Wizards Play Network. It's the people who do like Magic the Gathering
and all Dungeons and Dragons.
Dungeons and Dragons and all that stuff. We were so close to getting this thing called WPN Premium, which is like it's like a prestige level for Magic, Dungeons and Dragons and all that. If you go to like the Wizards Network or Wizards website and you type in stores near me to play at, we are the first store that pops up.
Oh, okay.
Like within a 50-mile radius.
Wow.
So we busted our ass like as a team to get to WPN Premium. And it was more of like a test to ourselves to see if we could do it because they were very peculiar. Like if there was like a scuff on the wall.
I was going to ask, what are the benchmarks
for insane. Something like that? Yeah. It was absolutely insane.
Bar's very high.
Super high. Like cleanliness, structure, signage, like code of conduct, being open to different groups of people. Like there were so many different like levels that you had to like adhere to.
Wow.
It took us like 4 months of like probably 4 months and about $25,000 of like buying things to like make it look proper, make it look pretty, like all these things. And then we finally got WPN Premium and it was like, I felt like right then and there, I was like, I close the shop right now.
Really?
Yeah.
Because it was like, so much work
that
up
was,
front.
That was the hardest thing to do about wow. opening the card shop.
Wow. And what's the benefit? You get listed as the number listed, one?
And we're one of 600 stores in the world that has this accolade.
Damn.
And it's given by Hasbro and Wizards. So what that's done for us as a business is not only helps us get like visibility for Unplugged, in this area, it also gives us like a reputation. And yeah. as people who had no experience in the card shop industry or the local card shop industry or situation is people have been in this business for so long.
Yeah.
Right. And they've like, it's hard to infiltrate a business like that, especially when you're not like going to undersell yourself, not going to undersell your experience, et cetera, et cetera. It was really hard to get premium. We're the only store from here to Rochester that has premium.
Wow. I didn't know that. That's
even
cool.
Out to Albany as well. Hmm. There, I think there's one. I don't even think there's a store in Albany. I think there's maybe like 4 or 5 stores in New York State.
Wow, that's big.
Yeah. So that was like the biggest chase for us was just getting that.
Yeah.
So.
And the effort, like the environment was already clean, so you didn't have to do much about the environment. Were there any big changes you made to right off the bat?
We had to like do more brand identity stuff. So like on the back wall of our shop, it says Unplug Gaming and vinyl. Like we had to get that done to fill the space, to make it not look so empty. We had to like write a code of conduct for like fair treatment of players and people that are at our shop. So if there's like bullying or harassing or anything like that going on, like we just kick the person out.
Yeah.
Like that's unacceptable. Or like any sort of like, if people are rude towards trans people or anyone like that, like immediately just removed. Like it's not a place for that. Like that kind of hate speech or
anything. And you write the code of conduct like yourself with others and then submit that to Wizards essentially?
We had it reviewed by Wizards and then they approved it. Nice. And then we then enforced that.
And implement it. That's cool. And that rule is just like standard.
It's a standing rule.
That's awesome.
It's like everyone is welcome. We don't like hold any judgment. You know, if you're a shitty person, we probably won't treat you very well. But we're not going to like shoo you out of there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
In our business, there's a lot of people who like are advantageous and will, because we had good prices in the beginning, would come to our shop and buy stuff and then resell it online.
Mm.
And they would end up making the money that we could have potentially made.
Right.
So we've had to like not let certain people back in because.
Have you shifted to online sales? It seems like that's where it could be at, right?
It could be, but the whole point of me buying this store and like doing it was to build a community. It wasn't it wasn't to really like make money.
Right.
That wasn't the purpose. I know that's like the total ass backwards mentality of like starting a business. It wasn't to make any money. My brother at the time was unemployed. I wanted to get him a job and give him like stability. That was like that purpose and creating like a space for community.
Wow.
So like for the first 6 months, I was playing at all of our Magic events.
You were playing?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, because I wanted to build something and be a part of something.
Yeah.
So And that's what it's been more so now than ever. I mean, we work with like the local schools in Manlius. So we work with them, like helping them develop like after school programs for like Dungeons and Dragons or Magic the Gathering or Pokemon. We're doing a collaboration with the Rosamund Gifford Zoo this year for the Year of the Dragon as well. So like running D&D camps and like magic camps and things like that.
Whoa, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so we're like big on community.
Yeah.
That was my core focus with this business is just building a big community of people that like support us and want to be about us.
Yeah.
So.
And how, so the best way to build community is by what? Just being involved in the community by running events or?
I think a lot of it has to do with like the people that I hired. The people that work for the company, everyone is approachable and everyone is friendly and everyone wants to be at their job. They all get paid well enough. They all have, if they need to take a day off, they can take a day off. Like we treat our employees super well. And I think that's what it started with. And then that kind of bled into the experience for all the customers.
Right.
So they'd come in and be like, this guy's happy as hell. Why, you know, I want to be about this.
It's contagious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes there's bad days, but you know.
Yeah. You run a store, you're going to have bad days. Been there, done.
Yeah, retail is like not an easy thing to do.
It's tough.
It's very tough.
Yeah.
And it's hard to please everyone.
Yep.
I mean, it's different if you're like a Wegmans, right? You go into a Wegmans, you know you're going to spend $8 on a scone. But you know that scone's going to be pretty fucking good.
Yep, that's right.
And you're like, damn, that scone is worth it.
Yep.
But the same mentality comes in with our card shop. Like, you come into our card shop, we're going to greet you. We're going to treat you great. We're not going to look down at you. We're not going to act like you're wasting our time. We're going to treat you just like we treat everyone else. And we want you to have a great experience. So we sell an experience.
Now, when you were like, you said you were hiring people. You probably added people to the roster if you took over. What were you looking for specifically in these people when you were interviewing
experience.
Them?
Experience. I was looking for personality.
Really?
Yeah. I was hiring based on personality.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. The only person who had experience was the guy that I met when I first acquired the business. He was the only person that knew anything about the business.
Really?
Yeah.
Very interesting.
The first, when we put a posting on Indeed, we had like 80 applications within 3 days. And I think that's just because Indeed like fudges their numbers a little bit and all this stuff.
But
we don't
have
to get into that shit. But we had 40 interviews over the course of like a week.
Wow.
Because we needed people to work for us.
Yeah.
And I think out of that group of 40, we hired 2 people. One person didn't end up working out, but the other person who did is like an all-star. And he's like, my whole big thing is that when I see someone that like actually has an interest and they want to do more, I will let them leverage the situation and experience more. So this one individual came in, Brian, and he came in a suit. He was the only fucking person to come in a suit.
That's awesome.
And it was like, it was that little thing.
Yeah.
And after talking to him, like hearing him laugh and joke and like in like a 30-minute interview, I was like, he's not where he wants to be, like personality wise, mentally wise, but I can see that he's going to get there. So I hired him based on like that 30-minute conversation, him wearing a suit and just like the banter. I could feel that he would be like a good fit. And he's been with us ever since. He was like the first official hire of the company. And like he's brought on so many new ventures. Like he started eBay for us. He's doing a Whatnot live streaming. Like, so anything he thinks of, it's like, yeah, Brian, just do it.
Yeah.
You need money for it? Let's make it happen.
Yeah, like, right.
So I...
You're also empowering that person though if they like they're...
Yeah.
He wants to take on... He's coming to you with a really cool idea. He's excited about something and you're looking for a way to... just help support that venture, which is cool.
Yeah, that's how I got my start. Like, I worked for Turning Stone for, like, 7 years. And while I was there, my boss was, like, my mentor.
Yeah.
Like, he was, like, anything I wanted to do, he was, like, absolutely. He was, like, let's make it happen. Let's figure it out. If it doesn't work, at least we tried. That's my whole mentality with everything in life. That's how I treat everything now.
Interesting.
So with him and a lot of actually all of my employees at this point, every one of them has had their own idea for something that they wanted to do. And I'm like, let's do it. Let's try it out.
Sometimes that's cool. It just fails. Being supportive.
Yeah. Because like...
if it fails though, at least you know you tried. Yeah, for sure.
Like I said, retail by itself is kind of boring. Like it's like stocking shelves and like, oh, the price is incorrect. Like that shit is boring.
Mm-hmm.
But like if people can like come up with creative ideas or like anything that's a little bit more than what exists now... I'm all about it. So I support my staff. Yeah.
That's cool. And especially there's something, it's funny that you said that you hire based on personality and experience, because I'm going through the same thing right now. Now I'm a manager in the office. I'm trying to recruit agents, and I'm like, I would much rather have somebody who brings a really cool, positive personality to the thing, rather than being a top producer.
Nah,
that, I would much rather have somebody bring something.
If you give people the opportunity to grow, they will grow. Mm-hmm. If you support them on growth, they will grow too.
How do you create those opportunities? Is it just supporting them when they come to you with an idea?
Yeah, or? And like giving them tasks, like giving them things like, and it sounds silly because it is a retail business, and because it is, there's only like 8 employees, but it sounds silly to talk like this. Like this is like some like crazy startup like mentality, you know, Silicon Valley, we're going to be fucking rich because of this thing. But like I treat it, cause I've worked in that industry. I've worked in consulting and marketing and online, whatever, for years. Right. And when I left Turning Stone, I didn't have the same opportunities that I did if I worked for like a corporate structured business. So I had to do everything based on building relationships with people. But then I had to follow up on those expectations. So I always had to do more than... I had to be like a self-starter.
Yeah.
So that same mentality, when someone comes to me and they're like, I have this idea, that's how I got my start.
You're like, let's do it.
Yeah. Like, what's the point of having a great idea if you're not going to execute it?
Right.
Most people come up with these like brilliant ideas. They just never pull the trigger on it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'd say the majority of times people have like, my dad used to say it when I was a kid. He's like, oh, I got an idea for an invention. And then shit you not, like years later, it'd be a thing. And it's like, well, why didn't you do anything about it? He's like, oh, I didn't know how to do it. That's like, why don't you figure out how to do it?
What do you think is the biggest roadblock for people? Is that they don't know how to do it, or do you think it's
risk?
Fear? Risk.
Risk is like, risk is a big issue.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't like taking risk, you know? And it's like, you could be in a, I was in a position at one point when I was getting started, is that thing dead?
I think so.
Oh.
I've been trying a new way. I'm trying to, I don't mean to derail us, but the GoPro is great, but it usually at about the half hour mark, it overheats and it shuts itself off.
Yeah, yeah.
And then something online was like, take the battery out and we'll keep it cool just fine.
Yeah.
And it just kicked off. So we're still trying to figure out the video aspect.
Yeah, we'll get it there. Good. Do we have time?
Yeah, we got plenty of time. Usually I do it for about an hour, about 25 minutes in. So we got time to cook. But the risk, people don't like to take that
I think
risk.
In general, risk is a very, like we were saying, risk is a very scary thing because it's like, it determines whether or not you're going to be successful. Like, I think in all aspects of life.
And maybe money is an object for a lot of people.
Yeah. But there's a thing to say about that. Like, people who don't have money, if you can find a way to be around people who do have money, you can leverage that, right? Like, you can get, maybe not use that to your advantage, because I think it takes a certain person to be like predatorily advantageous about people with money. Mm-hmm. I don't personally appreciate that.
Right.
But I think like it's such a hard thing to say, to be honest with you, because not everyone has those opportunities in front of them. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people who have great ideas don't have the opportunity to get the idea in front of the right people. So I think a lot of it probably comes down to luck.
And who you surround yourself with. I mean, again, it's not everybody has the opportunity.
Not everybody has that. Yeah,
it probably has a dash of luck involved.
I think it's more than a dash. I think it's like a full tablespoon of luck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like Mr. Beast just had that quote where he was just like, you know, there's for every one of me, there's 10,000 other people who didn't make it as a YouTuber, you know? So
yeah. Like content creation, like that whole thing is insane.
Yeah.
Like there's it's just crazy.
It seems to be a focus of a lot of businesses. Are you doing anything for content creation for Voltage?
For Unplugged?
I got Mike Saltzman on the brain. I just posted his episode today.
Oh, you're good. Dude.
So
you're
I got
good.
Saltzman on the brain. My bad for Unplugged.
I don't give a shit. It's fine. What was the question? I just got blanked out.
I just pissed you off because
I honestly don't care.
Do you do anything for like content creation?
We do
for
like
Unplugged?
Posts on Facebook and Twitter and things like that, but not like, I know that some card shops and game stores like build like a personality around that. They're like, it's a little corny for me. I'm not a fan of it. it probably would work. I'll give an example, like our commercial that we shot for like to run on TV and stuff like that. That was definitely like personality driven. Our store manager was the only person in the commercial, and it was like very goofy. Yeah. It was like silly. Like,
well, went into planning the commercial.
He did.
He did? Really? Yeah. Another initiative. One of him, he's like, hey, Joe, we should shoot a commercial.
And wow. I was like, sure, let's do it. And then, yeah, and then we got in touch with like News Channel 9, and I was like, let's run the commercial.
And so. You were able to write it and record it. Did you guys edit it all yourself? Like,
yeah, we had another guy, Danny Tripodi. I don't know if you remember.
I love Danny. Yeah, yeah. Danny's been on the podcast before. He's Danny, a good friend of mine.
I met him through another group. He was the one who did it all for us.
Really?
And I like paid him in like Magic Car or something like that. Yeah. Really? Just like, help us out, man. We're trying to make this
Danny
happen.
Was super helpful for the Dungeon Donations too. He's helped us out a lot with that too.
Danny's a great guy, dude.
I love that
guy. And he does a lot with our Retro Game Con too, which we're a sponsor of as well. So.
Oh, are you hooked up with Pat? You're doing stuff with Pat too?
Yeah, yeah. We were there last year, and we're doing Junior, and we're doing the major one too.
Nice. So Junior's coming up, right?
Yeah, yeah. Next month, yeah.
Nice.
So we're going to run the TCG room at the next major one.
Nice. So you have people who will run like Magic the Gathering, Pokemon.
Lorcana. Yeah.
Lorcana's the new one, right?
Lorcana and the new Star Wars game.
Oh, there's a new Star Wars card game.
Star Wars Unlimited.
Holy shit, there's so many of them.
Yeah, imagine on our end.
Trying to keep everything in. Would you say, like, it's Magic the Gathering the most popular than Pokemon and so on and so forth?
I think Pokemon, because there's, like, Pokemon is number one because collectors. That's, you get people of all ages coming to the shop to buy Pokemon cards.
But Magic skews more towards
players.
Older people who are actually playing.
No, I don't think so. I mean, no. We've had competitive events at our store where we had like a 12-year-old beat like a bunch of people in their 30s and 40s.
Oh my God, it's amazing. Yeah.
So we have like people of all age ranges playing Magic at our store.
And you have people who are like running. Do you have to get like sanctioned to be a referee or like how does...
Yeah, we hire for like major, they're called RCQs. They're not our favorite thing in the world to do just because they're a little too sweaty. Competitive is cool, but again, like I grew up playing card games to hang out with people.
Yeah.
To like get to know them and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But we do RCQs. We hire out judges, like certified Magic judges.
Interesting. That's cool.
It's pretty funny.
That's why I enjoy talking to so many different people is because like I never even realized there's a Magic the Gathering
judge,
referee, like an official.
Yeah. It's like that with Pokemon, with every game.
I bet.
Yeah.
I bet.
We actually empower our staff in a goofy way and help them become judges so that way they can run the events as well.
How many people do you have on staff?
Eight.
Right, so you got eight people.
Yeah.
And how many people do you have working like in the store on a regular day?
Three to four usually.
Someone to cover the mid shift, someone to close.
It's usually we go typical hours are like 1:30 to 9:30.
Mm-hmm.
But since we started doing like Whatnot and live streaming and things like that, people.
Oh yeah, what's the live streaming about?
It's just like opening packs. Like people just open packs and sell them to people that are watching and things like that.
Interesting.
Too. Yeah. It's really cool because it's like community building and engaging as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like a slow start. But it's actually, I think they're live right now.
Well, it actually makes sense because it's you guys, again, building community. You're trying to build that sense of community.
Through an online presence, yeah.
Through an online presence, yeah. But you focus more like in-person.
That's all community. About in-person. That's my main focus. That's what I want to see come out of the store. It's just a bunch of... As a business, we're supposed to value like every square foot at a certain amount per hour. Mm-hmm. We're supposed to expect a certain value, a certain amount of income from each, like, I think, I can forget the exact
per number, square foot.
Per square foot. We're supposed to be like, this is worth a dollar or this is worth 20 cents or something like that. We don't do that. Like our play space, the tables and setups and all that is like some card shops in the country charge like an hourly rate to use the table or to like even participate in playing in anything that isn't like an event or whatever. We don't do that.
Yeah.
So it's like open space. My happiest days going to the shop are seeing like hundreds of people there playing games.
Just hanging out, playing games.
And even if we don't do well like financially, just the fact that people are taking the time out of their day to be at the shop, to be playing games, that gives me fulfillment.
But they're also going to buy stuff there.
They might. You'd be surprised.
Right.
Some people don't want to spend money.
That's true. That's true.
It's not like, you know, that's fine too.
Yeah.
You know?
But like, it's the fact that they're still they're still thinking of you when they want to go after school and hang out at.
Nobody's thinking of me.
They're thinking of my staff.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. Nobody thinks of me. And honestly, I'd rather keep it that way. I'm not that interesting of a person. I don't even know why I'm doing this podcast. My staff are the whole. They're everything about that place. Without them, I wouldn't want to do the business. So,
very interesting. It's, have you thought about adding like new things to the business, like adding comic books or something?
We've thought about it. We're still like learning inventory control and like just things like that. It's kind of a massive pain in the ass. So like creating, we use Shopify for everything. And Shopify is not the best system for our business, like at all.
What makes it so difficult?
Creating like a product is like a major pain in the ass.
Like creating a SKU for something.
Imagine like creating a product for, we put in a dice order. There's 400 different dice. So you have to create 400 different products.
Oh, Jesus. God.
And we do everything by the books too. Like we don't like, notoriously card shops are known for like kind of like trying to get around the edges a little bit here and there. Just like, oh yeah, we'll do cash deals, da 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 da. We don't do any of that because I don't take risk when it comes to taxes. I don't, I pay my taxes.
And for inventory's sake.
And inventory's sake, yeah. So we're like, we really do our best to like not add too much like fluff, because like comic books would be like massive fluff.
That'd be a lot of SKUs, dude.
And not only that, but like ordering is kind of like a daunting task. And only one person handles ordering right now, and adding like more and more and more and more and more, it's just like, they're going to burn out.
Right.
So,
or maybe taking a product that you sell really well and expanding the line.
Yeah, we do that with the major card games. So like,
you guys have an impressive D&D selection too.
Yeah.
Like a whole bunch of stuff with that too.
Yeah, we're going to expand on that.
Are you? Okay. Yeah,
cool. We're going to expand into like miniatures and all those things too. Terrain that could
be,
and all that
that's
stuff.
That's going to have a lot of SKUs too, too. That could be a pain in the ass.
But that, that'll probably be fun though. Because we have like an ever-evolving D&D scene at our shop. Like at least I think, I don't know what the numbers were, but I think at one point we had like 36 people on a Thursday that just came in and played D&D together.
And you guys are doing Adventures Thursday nights. It's Adventure Club, right?
Yeah, I think it's what it is right now is people are just like forming their own campaigns and playing together. But there's the opportunity. We're working on it with Wizards to create like a 3 or 6 month long program or whatever it is to their campaign to like give people the opportunity to like be a part of something bigger and get like rewards and stuff like that for it too.
That's cool.
So
that's sweet. Who's running the games?
It's the community.
Oh really? Just random people come in DM for you
groups.
Guys
they've formed they just form their own groups.
And then so because you're giving them the Discord. Space then it's just you're just designating Thursday night as D&D night. Right. Yeah. It's interesting. There's a like adventurers clubs where it's like
Adventurers League is
Adventurers League. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. But that's cool. Do you have anybody at the shop who's running D&D?
No, not yet. No. We haven't. We've thought about it, but again, we don't charge for our table space.
Yeah.
So it's like we could. It would make sense financially to be like, all right, $5 a head. You can all sit at a table and you know do whatever. But we don't. But it's something we've thought about. I think there's a lot of room for growth within our business as a business.
Yeah. So in terms of just like
monetizing everything, because you should. It's you know it's a business.
Yeah. Right. You do have to make money at the end of the day, whether you like to say it or not. You know.
It's not even about making money. It's just keeping the lights on.
Yeah.
You know, having like really bad, having like a bad month is like you really feel it in a brick and mortar that's a retail space because. You got to spend, you know, $75,000 to $100,000 on product a month, and then you got to sell that at like a pretty garbanzo beans margin, and you're like, well.
Especially with the card markup, is there something that has the highest margin in the store?
For card games,
like I'm not in the card business, but I feel like margin on cards would be really small, but maybe so like the margin on cases are better.
Sealed product is. Is really bad. It's not good at all. It's like between 10% and 20%.
Yeah.
And that's like you might not sell 50, you definitely won't sell 50 Pokemon boxes.
Right.
You might be lucky to sell like 3 in a weekend.
Wow.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
So game supplies are the best markup. like game sleeves, card sleeves, binders, play mats, things like that.
Do you have like a training program that your employees would go through on the? There's no like videos you make them sit through.
No, we don't do that,
dude. Yeah. You're a good owner, right there. Sitting through those boring ass videos.
No, we don't do that. We're not corporate, man. It's literally myself and my brother. Like that's it. And
where have you looked for all of this guidance on how to like do this?
Experience,
dude?
Man.
Damn, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
There's a few resources out there, but
like no one's written a book on how to run a trading.
Yeah, there's a book that's been written about it.
There's
got
to be.
I didn't read it though, but I assume it's pretty. It's probably pretty good.
But just experience on how to run a businesses. That's very
interesting.
Talking
to one of my distributors for one of the games. This guy used to own a card shop, and he's become like my mentor for card shops.
Mm.
He owned one for about 30 years, and then he sold it and got out of it, and I learned a lot about like how much he hated the business. It's like a labor of love. Like I'm in a fortunate position where like I don't need to be there all the time. I don't rely on this business for income. I do it because I love collectibles and card games.
Love the environment.
And like
you love Magic the Gathering.
Right. And my brother can make an income from it. So like that's a win for me. Right. Yep. All the money I put into it, it's worth it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like if I wanted to make like a decent income out of this business, I would have to sacrifice all my other opportunities and I have to work there every day for like 7 days a week. Yeah. And I can't do that.
But for some people, they don't have
that. That's what they have.
They have to.
Yeah. I'm in a very privileged position but I put myself in this position. Nobody gave it to me. So it's a huge difference between those things. So
that is cool. It's interesting to like, especially cause I remember when you first purchased Unplugged, and I was thinking how cool of a job that must be and how fun that must be every day.
Yeah.
And it's like after I'm talking to you, it's like, man, you don't realize about all
the nuances.
The nuances and all like the details and stuff that go into it.
Yeah. It's not easy. It's like I said, it's the hardest job I've done.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds silly because it's a retail card shop, but like this is the type of business that's like can be very formative for like younger kids, right? Like the environment that we have kids come all the time from like middle school, high school, come after school and just hang
out
at the shop.
That's where they hang out until mom picks them up.
Exactly. And it's like we don't want to give them a bad experience. Like we don't want them to feel like they're not safe here. You know, we want them to feel welcomed and like socialization and like conversation kind of died after COVID.
Oh, for sure.
And it killed the industry specifically. Like card shops probably should have just gone away. If COVID was longer than it was, it would have just gone away entirely.
Wow.
But they're formative years, right? Like your teenage years. Like when I was going to my card shop, I got a little bit of my degeneracy from being at the card shop.
Right.
Right. Like,
and they were, it's still, it's a positive, welcoming environment.
Yeah, it's friendly. Know? And, you know, it's a great place to meet people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people that have literally the same interests that you do.
Mm-hmm.
So, we've kind of predicated the whole business on that.
Now, looking back at the past few years, what are you the most proud of?
I think just my staff. Like, the people that I've hired and the people that I've been involved in. And their, like, personal growth and being supportive of them, seeing them do great things for themselves and their families too, that makes me happy. Yeah.
So being able to run the business, it seems like it's more than just being able to sell some cards to.
I don't care about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I said, it was never about making money. It was just about creating a space for people to come hang out and meet each other.
Yeah.
That's all it was, and the money will just come. Like if you do a great job, like there's no reason people wouldn't pick you over someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Like, especially if you have the right people working for you to do that.
Right.
So,
What would be a piece of advice you'd give a new business owner?
Don't open up a card shop.
Don't open up a card shop.
Don't do it. Yeah. Don't open up a hobby store. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think just be honest with yourself. If it's not working, get out. Don't drag your ass. Don't take on a bunch of debt. Debt is the devil. Like, it's not a good thing. And try to be different than your competition. Because, like, there's plenty of other great card shops in this area, and they all do things their own way, but like, we don't follow anything that anyone else does. We just try to be our own self. And I think that's a really big part of it. Like, you don't want to be like everyone else. You want to stand out as much as you can without being like exploitive or anything like that.
I was gonna say, how do you figure out how to stand out?
I don't know. You wear like funky colored socks or something like that. Yeah. You just gotta do something. Yeah. No, I think business is like a very difficult thing, right? You could have a great idea and you could put it to market and you have a terrible marketing strategy, so nobody even knows that your business exists. You can have a great product, nobody knows the business exists, or you could have a really shitty product, you have great marketing, and you're selling something and people are like, man, this really sucks.
Yeah.
So like, you have to find the balance between the two, right? When you're pushing a business, you see all the time with restaurants too. A new restaurant comes out. I experienced this recently. They were charging like $18 for a little taco. And it was like maybe like a little line of meat. And I was like, man, you spent it. Like, the space was cool. The people were super nice. But like, there has to be a balance, right? Yeah. Sometimes you might have to have like a pretty bad month. Like, there's a lot of pretty bad months out there. But like, you have to know that like, you can work towards more if you market yourself properly, you carry yourself properly, and you're kind of like, I don't know, I don't know, because this is like a niche business in comparison to like someone opening up like a laundromat or something like that. People don't need the things that my business has. Nobody, like, you can survive without getting a pack of magic cards. You know what I mean?
Mm. Okay, I see. Yeah, I see.
So it's hard for me to talk about like other businesses because my business is so niche,
mm-hmm,
in comparison.
Yeah, but I think there's still lessons to be learned from your adventure with Unplugged.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's why you asked me to be on here.
Yeah.
But the reality is that it's probably not. To be totally fair, no.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's not like I'm sure Mike from Voltage has a lot more interesting shit to talk about, because the reality is like he buys from people used video games. You know, it could be John finds a crate of used video games and he's like, oh, I need $20 to buy a pack of cigarettes or something like that. And then right, like, they go to him and they sell it to him, and then he has to find a way to sell that product, or he's, you know, sees an opportunity with 3D printing dice. That's like a wonderful exploration of business, mm-hmm, right? With us, it's like, it's straight to the point. It's just building a community. That's mm-hmm all the focus has been. So, excuse me.
No, you're fine.
Yeah.
And with the focus of being a community, is that going to be the future, yeah, of Unplugged? Just continue building.
To build on that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would love to see that game room full every day that we're open.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would, that would make me so happy.
Because then it's being utilized space.
Well, it serves as a third place.
Right.
Yeah, it serves its purpose. It serves the intention that I had when I bought the business.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I would like to expand on that. You know, we talked about the idea, if the business, you know, continues to do well and we continue to do a great job, I'd love to do like a bar cafe combo,
mm-hmm,
card shop.
Yeah.
So like having...
being able to get coffee and food.
Yeah, coffee, food, hang out. Yeah, chill out there. Or like late night, you may be able to get a mixed drink or like a cocktail or something like that.
Yeah.
And some food. And yeah, and they're just building on that. Like, mm-hmm, building on the community and then involving things like food and alcohol could be a little bit more fun too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
So
it's one thing I always appreciate about you, Joe. You always got your gears turning. You're always thinking ahead of schedule. Yeah, for sure, man.
Yeah. I like risk. I take a lot of risk, and I like really love risk. I like, if I failed, if Unplugged failed, it'd be because I wasn't risking enough.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's how I feel.
What is it about it? Is it because it gives you a little, gives you a charge?
Yeah, it's like a little dopamine hit, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I was just out to lunch with a friend of mine, and he owns a super successful manufacturing business, and they manufacture springs. It's like the most bizarre thing ever, like, to think.
Just springs.
Yeah, you run a $16 million business and you sell springs for a living.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how passionate and calculated that guy is, it's like you couldn't get like a look off of him without him being like, why'd you not look at me?
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's so interesting. I can never be like that because he knows every penny that his business is spending. I don't know every penny that my business is spending. I like the risk. I want to find out, you know, like my guy's doing whatnot. He sells something for $5 less than what it should be. Okay. Why'd you do that? This guy doesn't, he doesn't miss.
Yeah.
I could never be like that.
Different personalities. So many different personalities in this world.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
It's crazy to me. I don't have that in me. Yeah. I really don't.
Well, not everybody's cut from the same cloth.
Yeah. But I that's what I mean is like with that, I'll take a chance.
Yeah.
I'll trust the person that I hire to make the right decision because we got my people thinking about the future of the business because they want to be involved in the business for the long run. They're not like, oh, this is, I come to my job, I clock in, I get paid, I leave. They're like, I'm going to make this shit work. Mm-hmm. Oh, we're struggling here. Let's make it better. How do we make it better? Right. And then they work collaboratively and then they make it better.
Right.
Yeah.
Damn. Dude, thanks for doing the podcast. Yeah, I appreciate your time, dude.
Yeah, thanks for asking me on.
50 minutes. It went by pretty quick.
Yeah,
right. Anything else you want to?
I just feel like I talked the whole fucking time.
It's okay. That's fine. Yeah. That's what this is about, dude. Yeah. A lot of people are like, I'm not going to be able to talk about myself for an hour.
About, I could talk about this shit all day long.
Yeah.
Well, I could air more complaints too, but I'm not going to.
Yeah.
I mean, I could.
Yeah. Well, thanks, dude. I appreciate you.
No worries, dude. Of course.